We've heard stories and reports about how widespread the opioid crisis has become, but what about the loved ones of those caught in addiction, their family and friends? In her first book, Central Valley author Tina Hogan Grant writes about this from her own perspective. Her book is called Reckless Beginnings, and it's based in part on her own life experience, watching her sister suffer from a substance use disorder. FM89's Laura Satsui spoke with Hogan Grant to get a preview of her story.
So this book is a work of fiction, but based on true events from your own life. Can you talk a little bit about where that line is drawn?
Sure, no problem. The book is based on myself. Tammy Mellows, the main character, is myself. And it takes place, begins when she is 14 years old. I decided to write it as fiction and not a memoir, basically because I myself do not like the language of a memoir. It's basically written in first person, where it's I, me, and I wanted it to read like a story. 80% of this book is pretty much true to life. The towns have been changed, the names of characters have been changed, and a few events have been changed a little bit, but it's pretty much based on my life. I just prefer to write in a third person storyline, and that gives the reader a more insight of not just the first person. I can give you thoughts on the other characters when I write in third person. So that's why I decided to write it as fiction.
When you are giving thoughts from other characters, being that they are people from your real life, how did you have conversations, after these things had happened that gave you insight? Like, how were you able to sort of write that, I guess, in retrospect?
Many of the characters are my family members. When you read through the book, there's Donna, that's my sister that ran away from home, and then my father and my stepmother. And then these people I knew pretty well, and we did have conversations during this time of my life, so I could pretty much understand what they were feeling, what they were going through. So I think I did a good job on reading their minds.
For sure. And there are so many really heavy moments in this. You're not just talking about addiction, but also sort of familial strife. You mentioned your sister runs away, she goes missing. And it kind of goes on. And that sounds like it might be a difficult story to tell, but what motivated you to just put it all out there and write this?
I had the idea for this book about 25 years ago. That's when these events took place in my life. And when I started writing it, I gave it the theme of the flip side to addiction. We don't really hear from the loved ones of addicts. And when I was going through this, I was looking for any kind of books written by a woman that was going through what I was going through, because I wanted some kind of connection with somebody, and I needed to know how they coped, what did they do. And when I was looking, I came up empty. I only found books on how to, they're telling me to not do this, not do that. But I didn't have the actual voice of someone that was actually going through it. And that's when I decided that I needed to write about my experiences, not only for my own therapy, my own peace of mind, and to understand why I allowed this to happen to myself, but also for other women. Or it could be any family member that, is a loved one of an addict. And it just gives that person comfort. It shows them that they're not alone, and that there is venues where you can start taking your life back and realize that your life is not second because you're with an addict. You have to treat your life as number one. And it took me 25 years to actually write the book, and that's basically because life got in the way. But when I did start writing it, I gave myself the title The Silent and Forgotten One, because that's pretty much what we became, or I became. We become recluse. We don't tell our friends. We're embarrassed. We're ashamed. And at the time, I just wanted to reach out to these people. But when I was writing these actual events, it was hard to open those doors again after 25 years. And I was quite stunned by how it affected me, because I had to show the emotions through my writing. So I had to reopen the wounds and go back to how I was feeling. So it was pretty difficult.
So these events happened, as you said, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And obviously how we talk about drug abuse and addiction has changed over the years. Maybe we talk about it more, especially with regards to the opioid crisis. Mm-hmm. But my perception is that maybe 25 years ago, you know, we weren't talking about these things as much. And so if you were a family member or friend of someone who was addicted to substances, it was really taboo and really hard. Do you feel like that has changed to today, where the conversation is more open, or is it still just very stigmatized?
I think it is more open because of the opioid addiction. The opioid addiction has increased the heroin addiction because of the prescription drugs being so expensive that people are actually turning to heroin because it's a third of the cost.
Right.
So even though this happened decades ago, the use of heroin has increased tremendously. And I think because of the prescription attachment to the addiction, people are talking about it more, and people aren't as recluse or ashamed. But the fact is, with the heroin, I think when it comes to the point of where people are using the needles, I think that still is a cutoff, that people won't admit to it, or they just don't bring it up. But the word addiction is more acceptable today.
And your background is not necessarily in writing. You grew up in England, and then after coming to America, you were in commercial fishing. And so how did you weave, I guess, your career to this moment?
I've always loved to write. In fact, I have a sequel coming out to this book called Better Endings, and I also am going to be doing a prequel, which is The Journals of Tammy. Because when I was going through this at the young age of 14, the way I talked to my sister was through journals. Mm-hmm. And when I was going through the events with the addict, my escape was to write my frustrations, my thoughts, my ideas, my dreams in journals. And my father was also an author. So I was brought up around books. I've always loved to write. He was a huge influence on my writing. And I told my, and this book has always been in the back of my mind, someday just write it. And 2010, my father unexpectedly passed away. And then a year later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And that's when I told myself, if I'm going to write this book, I better get serious about it. So in 2011, that's when I started writing down the outline and doing, you know, little chapters here and there. And then when we moved up here to the mountains, I was able to concentrate more and actually get it completed.
Can you talk a little bit about the light moments that readers can look forward to? You know, it's kind of like there's all this happening, but there's also hope. And what can readers sort of expect out of that?
Well, it's a book about a young girl coming of age. She's 14, and one of the dreams for her is to come to America. That is one of her father and one of her older sisters did move to America due to the divorce, and her dream was to come to America. She'd been there during her school holidays, and when she finally does come, it's a celebration when she leaves England, and her dreams are fulfilled. She's finally here. And then, yes, the dark moments do start, but she hangs on to the hope of living that suburban family lifestyle. And it gives a lot of women hope. Just hang on to your dreams and keep moving forward and just don't give up.
Almost a modern American dream still.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That is all the time we have, but we have been speaking to Tina Hogan-Grant. She's a longtime resident of Fraser Park, and she just published her first book. It's called Reckless Beginnings, and it's available to order online. You can find it on her website or barnesandnoble.com as well. Tina, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.